Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon. And I hope you'll stay here after I'm off because Pastor Rusnacko will be coming up after us. And always a blessing. Hope you were listening in the last half hour with Pastor Lutz and a good challenge from the scriptures there as well. But we're going to look at a couple things today. And of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's word, you can give us a call this afternoon, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here this afternoon with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's word. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory today. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody today. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. We thank you and ask that we could lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you today. What a beautiful day out there today. You know, it's like people are starting to build arcs, I think, in some places here lately. It's been raining so much, and it was kind of nice to walk out into my backyard today and not feel the ground squish. Sun is out, about 66 degrees when I got out of my car here at the station this afternoon in Independence, and it was about that when I left in Richfield earlier. So just absolutely gorgeous, sun peeking out through the clouds, and just a beautiful spring afternoon. I hope you're able to get out and enjoy some of it. And it looks like we're in for a really nice weekend. The temperatures are supposed to be going up into the 70s. So we're supposed to like 60s and 70s, I think, for the next several days. And we're supposed to be relatively rain-free. So, of course, all that rain that we've had, that means a lot of people are going to be lawn mowing over the weekend, I'm sure. But it's nice, and it's what makes things grow, and this nice warm sun's certainly going to be enjoyable. All right, well, I want to get to a couple of things here today, and a reminder, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and if you go there, there's a number of things that you can find available at livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs. I was able to get us somewhat caught up to date. It looks like we've got up through this past Sunday, and I just looked. I think last Friday, for some reason, is missing from there. I'm going to have to check that out since I'm the one who puts the website together. I'm going to have to go check that out and see why last Friday's not on there. But last Sunday's on there, and the Sunday before that, and 2 weeks ago Friday, but I was missing, so I'll have to check that out. So my note to myself. But you can listen to past programs there. There's a variety of articles there, and my latest article that I just posted this past week is entitled Mental Dysphoria, and I did that kind of as a play on the term gender dysphoria, and of course, gender dysphoria is a clinical term for a mental illness. Actually, I forget what the term used to be, but they tried to change it to make it seem a little less wrong in some senses. But gender dysphoria is the idea that people feel like they've been born in the wrong body in terms of gender. And it's really sad, the number of people who think that gender is fluid and that there's more than just two genders, and that if you're born obviously biologically male, that later on you can decide to be female. Well, let me tell you, you're never going to be female if you were born male. And likewise, if you're born female, you're never going to become male. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And And if you were born male, you were born with an XY chromosome complement. If you were born female, you were born with an XX chromosome complement. And no amount of hormone therapy, no amount of puberty blockers, no amount of surgical intervention, no amount of maiming and removing healthy body parts is going to change the fact that you either have an XX, which is female, or XY, which is male chromosome complement. And in my article, Mental Dysphoria, I compare gender dysphoria with another ailment. And I was listening to somebody on the radio, I forget who it was, just the other day, and I thought, wow, I wonder if they read my article, because I was talking about how we have another disease, which is called body integrity. Let's see, I'm trying to get this down straight. Body identity integrity disorder, also known as xenomelia. And this is where people who were born with a healthy body want to remove healthy parts, generally a limb. Sometimes it may manifest itself that people want to be blind. They're born with perfectly good eyes and they think that they should be blind, or that they think they should be deaf. And people who are afflicted with body identity integrity disorder, sometimes will actually do things to try and make, let's say they don't believe that they should have their leg. Well, they'll try to bind their leg in some way where they can't use it. They'll pretend that it's not there, and they'll actually ask people to, you know, doctors, if they will amputate their leg. Now, obviously, most doctors are not willing to amputate a healthy body part. Unless, of course, it's gender dysphoria and you're transitioning. But they don't want these people to transition to becoming, you know, somebody who is no longer in possession of all of their body parts. And so the general treatment, you know, of course, is to try and get to the problem. Why does this person have this problem? What's going on? What's the underlying situation here? And rather than amputate a perfectly healthy hand or leg, or remove perfectly or destroy perfectly good eyes, why would we do that? Let's look and see what the mental situation is underlying this, or the emotional disorders here. And of course, it's a spiritual battle that we're involved in. And this is because of sin in the world. I bring this out in my article, Mental Dysphoria. And the problem is we're created, as I said, in the image of God, and the devil hates God. And so he hates us, and he wants to attack and destroy the image of God. And this idea that you can transition from one gender to the other, this idea that you are not what God created you to be, this is, I believe, a devilish attack upon the image of God. And this is just but one of many ways. I've got other articles. If you go to livewithpastoral.com, I've got other articles dealing with capital punishment, abortion, and things like that. And all of those things are related to areas where the devil attacks the image of God. In fact, with an abortion, he's killing a young unborn child, and that child, of course, is a human being created by God in the image of God. And then, of course, capital punishment was outlined in Genesis chapter 9 when Noah and his family got off from the ark, and that was a punishment to be brought upon a person who murders somebody because, as he says in Genesis 9 and verse number 5, And surely your blood of your lives will I require it, the hand of every beast will I require it, and the hand of man, the hand of every man's brother will I require, the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And that's the end of verse 6 there, for in the image of God made he man. Murder is an attack on the image of God. Abortion is an attack on the image of God. This transgender nonsense is an attack on the image of God. And so pray, we do have a bill, and still haven't got to my main subject I was going to get to yet today, but there is a bill. Representative Gary Click, who also is the pastor of the Fremont Baptist Temple, he has a bill that he has sponsored, and it is House Bill 68. And if you go to ohiohouse.gov, that's ohiohouse.gov, you can read about it, you can learn about it, and pray for Pastor Click, or Representative Click, and pray for the passage of House Bill 68. It's in committee right now, and this is what we call the SAFE Act, and House Bill 68 is a bill. It's Enact Ohio Saving Adolescents from Experimentation. That's where they get SAFE Act, and it is to crack down on the transgender surgeries and treatments and everything. Many therapists, schools even are getting in on this, where they're transitioning children without parents even knowing what's going on. And of course, the lie that's often given is, which would you rather have, a dead son or a trans daughter, or vice versa? And the truth of the matter is, children who are pushed down the trans highway are 19 times, according to studies, 19 times more likely to commit suicide than those that don't. And something like 85-95% of the children that express gender dysphoria in their preteen years, and as they go into puberty, as they go through puberty in their teen years, they grow out of it. And as I said, 85-95% of them go back to what they were born as, male or female, and never have any problems after that in terms of this trans nonsense. So it is an attack on the image of God. So I encourage you to check us out online, livewithpastoral.com, and read my article, Mental Dysphoria. And you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We have our Bible study there tonight at 7:00, 7:09, informal Bible study. You bring the questions, and we'll talk about the Bible in light of, and current events in light of God's Word. We invite you to come. It's informal, as I said. We've got refreshments, and it's just a nice time where you can ask questions, and we can go through the Word of God together. Of course, then our church will have more information about that as well. But on Sunday morning at 11:00, I'm currently preaching through the book of the Gospel of John. And then on Sunday nights, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. I like to preach through books and get the whole context. And it also forces me to go into stuff and look at stuff that probably I'd gloss over if I just picked and choose what I wanted. So that works for me, and I hope it's a blessing to those that come. I encourage you to check us out, livewithpastoral.com. All right, now, with all of that, half the program probably, I wanted to get to something here today. I read an article the other day, and I was looking at it again last night, and the article was called "Back Away from a Text-Based Faith. Wokeism begins with devaluing the words of Scripture." And Jonathan Brenter had written this. It was published on harbingersdaily.com. And he talked about trying to talk with a pastor about the biblical necessity for God to restore a national Israel and a kingdom in the millennial kingdom. And the pastor he was talking to was following a false teaching of covenant theology believes that the church basically has replaced Israel and things. I don't have time to get into that right now. But he said as he was talking to the guy, he was telling him that his beliefs were out of step with popular trends in the church, and he pointed to an evangelical pastor in Atlanta by the name of Andy Stanley, who is pushing this idea that he had said something to the effect, I'm really on a crusade to help the church specifically to step back away from a text-based faith. Now, this is interesting, you know, and another pastor by the name of Tom Hughes referring to this, he said, what text? He's saying we must step away from a Bible-based faith. He's already said that we must unhitch ourselves, meaning Stanley said we must unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. And this is a problem that they're pointing out here. The idea that we can back away from the written word of God and that we don't need the written word of God. You know, I just remember Jesus when he was talking about talking about himself. He said, to the law and to the testimony. You know, he pointed people to the scriptures, the written word of God. And when you go into the scriptures, if you look at Isaiah chapter 8, in verse 20, this is the idea. This is where Jesus always referred back to the Old Testament scriptures, because in Isaiah chapter 8, in verse 20, Isaiah writes this, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, this is what I want to make clear on this. Whenever anybody, a pastor, a Bible teacher, a radio personality, a television personality, an internet personality, a book that you're reading, an author, whenever anybody wants you to back away from the Word of God, a big red flag ought to go up immediately. Why? Well, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, we see where the devil, in the guise of the serpent, he is talking with Eve, and this is where he, as the New Testament says, and I heard before, you probably heard this, the New Testament's the best commentary on the Old Testament. If you had a King James Bible, the Bible says that he beguiled Eve and in the New Testament. And in Genesis chapter 3, here in verse 1, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, now notice this, and again, anytime anybody tells you to back away from the Word of God, anytime somebody tells you, well, we need to reinterpret the Word of God, anytime somebody tells you need to unhitch yourself from the words of God, anytime somebody tells you that, a better reading would be, now I suppose I'm meddling now, huh? But he says it here, this is what the devil said in Genesis 3, verse 1, the end of the verse, yea, hath God said. Well, he continues, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. But the key is this phrase right there, these four words, yea, hath God said. This is important, and this is why Isaiah said, to the law and to the testimony. The devil's objective here in Genesis chapter 3 was to get Eve away from what God actually said, to reinterpret what God had said, to rely on her memory of what God had said, to not value God's words as much as what she thought about God's words. And this is problematic, because once we begin to back away from the Word of God, remember Isaiah said, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. This is one of the reasons I know Pastor Lutz on John before me, Pastor Risnacko after me, and myself, we use the King James Bible exclusively, not just because it's preference. We do it because, well, the other Bible versions are based on the work of two men, Westcott and Hort, who basically said, "Yea, hath God said." And that's the philosophy underlying most of these translations, new translations that have come out, seem like every year. It's the idea of, "Yea, hath God said." That's the heart of a better reading would be. And we need to go to the law and to the testimony, back to the Word of God. Peter wrote this in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, he refers to the time when he went up along with some of the other disciples up onto the Mount of Transfiguration. And while they were up there, they saw Jesus transfigured, and they heard the voice of God the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And they saw Moses and Elijah, I believe it was, that was with them. And as they're talking about this, Peter's talking about this in 2 Peter chapter 1, he refers to this. And then he says this in verse 19, because, let me back up actually to verse 16. He says, "For we not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." He says, we saw this. We can tell you what we saw. We can tell you what we remember about that event. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Now, this is exciting. I mean, this is something beyond what most people have ever experienced, and more than what most of the disciples even had experienced. And he says, we had this thrilling experience, and we can tell you what we saw, what we were eyewitnesses to. And you think, well, that's great. That's fantastic. What could be better? And then he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, meaning we've got something that is better than what we remember. We've got something better than what we actually saw with our own eyes and heard with our own ears. He said we have a more sure word of prophecy. He's talking about the scriptures here. "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn, and that day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first," verse 20, "that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation," verse 21, "for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." This is what's so important. This is why Isaiah said, "To the law and to the testimony, they speak not according to this word, because there's no light in them." This is why the devil wants to get people away from the Word of God. The Word of God is important. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the name of God, and we're not supposed to blaspheme the name of God, use the name of God in vain. That's one of the Ten Commandments. And in Psalm 138, it's kind of interesting when you read this, David's writing here, and he starts out in Psalm 138, verse 1, "I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. I will sing praise unto thee." And he says in verse 2, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth." And then he says this at the end of verse 2, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." And this is important. The Word of God is important, and we need to go back to it. You know, the devil has attacked it from the very beginning. He said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." He's got this multitude of the modern versions out there that say, "Yea, hath God said." And you've got these pastors and teachers that say, "Yea, hath God said." Well, I say go back to the law and to the testimony. Go back to the Word of God. Get a King James Bible. It's the English version of the Word of God that's preserved the Word of God in a way that you can understand it, that you can read it, and study that book. because Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then he says in the next chapter, preach the word. Stick with the word of God, my friends. God bless. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.